church for prayer meeting, and we appreciate you coming tonight. We do have some folks that are out. Haley Richardson had some oral surgery done this afternoon, so she's kind of laid up right now. And good to have Miss Jen back. She was up in Virginia this week, past weekend, and out of town working the week before, so we're glad to have her back. Brother Steve and Gail are in Pigeon Forge for the week. He took the time off, and so they've gone up there. And Brother Shelton's working the night shift, I think, this week, so that's where he is. So we do have some folks out and about, but we're glad that you're able to be back here tonight. Brother Joaquin, I talked to him a little while ago. He's in Hawaii, and I talked to him about, asked about Nico, and they're still running tests. In fact, when I called it, I think it was right at 6 o'clock. It was 11:15 in the morning. And I think, I don't know if that's tomorrow morning or I don't know. I don't know how that works. Anyway, he told me that they're going to actually do a lot more tests. They really want to find out what's wrong with Nico, their grandson. And so he told me, he said, it looks like I'll be here longer than I anticipated. So anyway, you pray for Nico and Alexis. Of course, Ivan is back in Japan. And then Sabine didn't get to go. She was planning on going with Joaquin, but her job couldn't get it worked out, so she's still here in Columbia. I thought she'd gone with him. So anyway, you pray for him and for them as well. Now, I'll go ahead and mention this too since I brought it up. The little girl Chloe that we asked for prayer Sunday actually passed away Sunday afternoon. 9 years old. She had a brain aneurysm, and she'd been born with some bad health conditions, and just kind of jumped on her all of a sudden, and really literally within a few days she'd gone on to eternity. So I don't know anything. All I know is it's somebody that my cousin Kathy knew and asked us to pray for. She was watching on the live stream. And so anyway, just want to let you know that she did pass away Sunday afternoon, I think about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. All right, so let's go ahead and get started with prayer. Then we'll have Brother Tim come and lead us in a song. Father, we love you and thank you for the opportunity we have to be back in the house of God. Lord, we so enjoy being where God's people are. Lord, tonight as we gather on Wednesday night to open up the Word of God, to sing, and then to get around the altar and pray. Father, I'm thankful for the faithfulness of your people, and I pray for those who could not be here. I know Stephen Gale would be here. I know Joaquin would be here. I know Shelton would be here. All these folks that are out, Lord, for whatever reason, maybe sickness or working or what have you. And Lord, we do pray for little Nico, that you'll, Lord, open up the doors there, that they might be able to find out what's wrong with him, and that they'll be able to treat him so that he can grow up and be a fine young man. Hopefully, Grandpa will have the opportunity to win him to Jesus. And Lord, we're glad to have Brother Sonny back with us. Lord, what a blessing. See Sonny Branham here. Sonny's been out for a while, and he's been really hurting, but seemed like, Lord, you've been gracious to let that subside some. And so because of that, he and Miss Judy able to be in church tonight. That's a real joy to our heart to have him back here with us. Lord, we do pray for Martha. She's at home. I know she's all watching on the live stream. Continue to bless her. She has a couple more weeks of immobility before they can do something to get her back on her feet. So we pray for her. And Lord, others, you know all the needs. And so we pray that you'll bless our time together and open up the Word of God to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Brother Tim, let's have a song.
All right, 195. Everybody take your hymnal. Stand and sing Glory to His Name. 195. Sing together now.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for blessing sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrous to say from sin, Jesus was sweetly a night within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood of Thine. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain.
Thank you so much. We'll have another song in just a moment. I mentioned about some of the prayer requests that we had. Continue to pray for Steve Morris, who has prostate cancer, but they're going to decide the 1st of May exactly how to treat it, what options are available, and so you pray for them while they go through that. Miss Bobby's son, Mike, let's continue to pray for him. And several others, of course, we want to continue to pray for. Please pray for us. We'll be leaving out in the morning, I hope about 6 o'clock. About a 12-hour drive to get to Brooklyn, and you have to drive through Baltimore and Washington, and that's probably 2 hours by itself. And so we've got a bit of a trip ahead of us, but we're looking forward to it, and looking forward to being Brother Richard. I've talked with him yesterday, and they're ready for us to get there. We're looking forward to going up there. We love his folks. Just a little place. I'm telling you, that message that Brian preached on the brook would be a perfect message for Brother Richard's church. You know, the only difference is they have a river-sized church and a brook-sized congregation. I'm telling you, they have a big old church, beautiful old church building, been there for 145 years, and beautiful wood carved on the inside. I mean, it's just beautiful. He did tell me that they were seeing a little bit of growth, and so that's good. And we're really looking forward to going up there and spending some time with them. And being able to preach hopefully some messages of encouragement to their people. They went through something similar to what we went through at the other church. Brother Richard told me, said the Lord just said, you know, there's nobody else that can help you with kind of encouragement than me. Brother Richard, and I didn't even know about that until about the time it was over. He never mentioned it to me. But I don't know too many brethren that have gone through that kind of situation. So God knit our hearts together a few years ago, probably as with Esther, for such a time as this. And so we're looking forward to going up there and try to be the help to him and to his church folks. I hope you'll be praying. Don't forget to be here Sunday now. And support the church both Sunday morning and Sunday night, Brother Scott Cowlick. Be here preaching Sunday. And you'll love to hear if you've never heard Scott Cowlick. Now, if he's here, now, he's had some back trouble over the last couple of years, and it's no wonder. The way that feller works, I mean, he worked like a crazy man for all these years. And I mean, wide open. Do about anything you think of. Well, it's finally caught up to him a little bit, I think. But Brother Scott, those of you that remember him, he'll preach from one side of the platform to the other, just battling, just like a tennis match. I think he's calmed down just a little, so it might only be like a ping pong match instead of a tennis match. But anyway, Brother Scott's a great brother of the Lord, good preacher. He'll give you something. His wife, Ginger, will teach the ladies Sunday school class, and ladies, you'll enjoy that. So I hope you get on the phone and call some folks that you don't see here tonight. Let them know that they need to be in church on Sunday, and I hope you'll do that and be right here in your place. Both services, and Brother Steve, of course, he'll be back this weekend, and then he'll take care of the Wednesday night service next Wednesday, and Lord willing, we'll be traveling back next Friday. And so we'll be back Friday night sometime late and give us Saturday to kind of recover and then be ready for church on Sunday. So we're really looking forward to spending the time up there, but also looking forward to get back. All right, Brother Brian, did I cover anything you had? I think I did. All right, Brother Tim, let's have another song then.
All right, well, we're going to sing four choruses, so be ready to turn quickly. And 172, Following Jesus, will give you a chance to find it. 172. All right, let's sing that together.
Following Jesus ever day by day. Nothing can harm me when he leads the way. Sunshine or shadow, whatever befall, Jesus, my Savior, is my all in all.
Let's sing that one again. Some of you just found it. So here, and some are still turning. You know, the pages go in order, right? So, 100, I had to say this for Casey. She's over there. Flipping pages. All right, 172. You got it? Here we go.
Following Jesus every day by day. Nothing can harm me when he leads the way. Sunshine or shadow, whatever befall, Jesus, my Savior, is my all.
233, for God so loved the world.
Following Jesus. love the world, He gave His only Son to die on Calvary's tree, from sin to set me free.
This reminds me of when I was growing up. These are old courses. I guess I'm old too. I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. 273. Everybody have it? Here we go.
I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. Jesus took my burden all away. Now I'm singing as the day goes by. Jesus took my burden all away. Once my heart was heavy with the load of sin, Jesus took the load and gave me peace within. Now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burden all away.
Now, if you know the back part of that song, sing that. How many? Does anybody know? I'm not going to do it. Okay, preacher will do it. Here we go again.
I'm so happy, here's the reason why. Jesus took my burden all away. Now I'm singing and the days of mine. He took my burden all away. Once my heart was heavy with the love of sin, wonderful peace within my heart, and now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burden all away.
And one more, all the way toward the back of the book, 520. 520, I just keep trusting my Lord. Sing out now.
I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord, and He gives us all. Though the storm clouds darken the sky, or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. He's a faithful friend, such a faithful friend. I can count on Him.
Well, first of all, that's a course we used to do when I was a teenager in camp. And so I love that song. The second reason is because Miss Ramona just found it. Amen, Miss Ramona? You had to find the page. So we're going to sing it again so you can sing with us, all right? Is that okay? Huh? Still looking for the page? Somebody help her.
Somebody
help her there, Dante. This dead air on the radio. Got it? All right, good.
Here
Let's sing
go.
It again so Miss Ramona can join in with us.
I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord as He is above. Though the storm clouds dark in the sky, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail.
that's true in your life. Say amen.
Amen.
Good.
Right.
All right, well, let's have a little time of fellowship together. All right. Thank you so much, Brother Tim. I enjoy doing them choruses. I really enjoy that. I hope that we can learn those choruses if you don't know them already. Many choruses in our hymn book, they're just great little choruses to sing. All of them have good messages to them. That's one good thing about our music, and I'm thankful for it, is that our music has a message to it. It's not about the beat. It's not about the wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. It's not about praise teams. It's about praising the Lord. And I so appreciate our music. I appreciate Brother Tim. And I tell you, it's great when, I mean, we're blessed here, I'm telling you. I've been in churches where we didn't have anybody that could play the piano. And we've got several here, and so Steve's gone. So glad that Miss Jennifer's able to come right in here and play for us, and John on the organ over here. But if something happened to Miss Jennifer and Steve, John could jump on that piano, and Shelton get on the organ. And if worse comes to worse, and they're all out, then we'll get John Gardner to get on the piano over there. Bet you didn't know he could play. Well, he doesn't either. Amen. So there you go. But I mean, God's really blessed us with a lot of good musicians, and we're thankful for that. And just listening to all the music and everything, and it's just a joy to my heart. Like I said, the first church we had a lady, she taught herself to play only in the key of C. And there are some songs you just cannot sing in the key of C. Then we had to use tape music, you know, and I guess that's good in a pinch, and at least we had something. But it's not the same as when you just tell somebody, hey, play that again, or let's sing that again without having to rewind, or, you know, or the piano player go, again, we got to do that, because she was about 70 years old when I got there. Bless her heart, she did the best she could. But anyhow, I'm grateful to the Lord for, and we ought to all be grateful for our good music here. Amen. All right, come on, ushers. Let's take care of the offering tonight. And just a couple of you be good. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Well, what about that? Wonderful. That's an answer to prayer. Another thing, Bethany just told me a moment ago that Brother Richard Hughes sent out a text message about Miss Shirley. She had her cancer test. She does that, I guess, probably every month or so. And, you know, it kind of got aggressive again. They started a new treatment. They were expecting her level was at 7,000. And that's, you know, that's just gargantuan above what it should be. And they thought, you know, she seemed like she was feeling some better. So they were hoping for a few hundred, point sort of decrease. It went down to 2,900. It went down over almost 5,000 points. And isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, Miss Shirley's fought this thing tooth and nail. I'm telling you, they didn't give her but just a year or so back when she got it. That's been 5 or 6 years ago, I think, or maybe more. Judy probably know that. But we sure have been praying. We love Brother Richard. We support Brother Richard Hughes. And Miss Shirley's been to our ladies' meeting on a few different occasions. Spoke at least one or maybe two of them. And they had a picture of her on there. And she's got that big smile on her face like she always has. I'll tell you, that's a blessing, a great blessing. And then I want you to pray, too, for Brother Sonny. I meant to mention this earlier. They did Miss Judy sort of very kindly and affectionately, but with fervor. You put in there whatever you want to. Sort of convinced the doctors to do another x-ray. And so they didn't want to, but then they did. And they found on Brother Sonny's neck, I guess where the ladder fell,
And it actually, what it is, it's a pinched nerve. They didn't see it before. They hadn't seen it all this time. And they found on this one, there in fact was a pinched nerve that was affecting his entire body. That's why he was hurting so bad. They also discovered that he has early stage of Parkinson's disease. Not the shaking kind, but I guess the gated, where you know, it's on the inside and wherever it goes. I've known many men in my ministry who've had the Parkinson's, who've had the shaking sort of Parkinson's. But anyway, you pray for him. I'm just glad he's here, I tell you. Brother Sonny, we missed you around here. Not the same without you. Miss Judy's not the same without you. And I tell you, Miss Judy, how long you been married now? 38 years. What about that? And boy, she takes good care of him. And I promise you, if she was on the other foot, he'd take good care of her. And I appreciate that. And that's a good testimony, too. And so you pray for Brother Sonny with these new, at least now they know something. You know, when somebody's sick and he had no clue what it is, you don't know how to pray. You don't know the doctor doesn't know how to respond. You know, you want to help them. You want to ease their pain, but you don't know how. Because, you know, Tylenol doesn't fix everything. And so anyway, they at least now have something to target. And so they've got to work with this neck and back issue too. So I think they're going to kind of hold off on one until they get the other one sort of fixed or under control. So pray for them the days to come. Let's pray for the offering together. Brother Edwin, how about pray for the offering, please?
Well, we're glad to have Rebecca in our church during the year, I guess. Rebecca's finishing up her second year, I think, law school, and glad to have her sing for us.
Yes, as a matter of fact, this is probably my last Wednesday night service. Next, I'll be here this Sunday because I'm staying the weekend to study, but then next Wednesday I'll probably be heading home. I would be remiss if I didn't thank you all for another wonderful year of fellowship. You all mean so much to me. Words can't describe how much all of you have meant to me and how you all bless me every single time I come, even though I'm not even here that often. But with that being said, I'm going to miss you all a lot this summer. If you would please keep my family in prayer this summer, my brother will be facing surgery. Just wanted to ask for that as well. He's one of my special needs. I'm going to create prayer for that. Tonight I'm going to be singing a song that's pretty self-explanatory, but it's been on my heart lately. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Don't be all else to me, save what thou art. All my best thoughts, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, I presence my life. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I have with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. Thy King of heaven, I treasure thou art. Thy King of heaven, I victory won. May I reach heaven, joys all bright have fun. Heart of my own heart, God ever be.
old. You don't know how old that is, do you? Eighth century, so that's older than me. All right. Thank you, Rebecca, for that. Get your Bibles ready to listen now as the pastor comes.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Tim. I believe Ralph was a teenager back then. Eighth century. He said the song was written in the eighth century. I said you were a teenager back then. About 12. I hear you. See, now he talks so serious that you almost believe him. Turn to Matthew chapter 6 this evening, the book of Matthew chapter 6. Two more messages tonight and two weeks from tonight when we're back here in town on the Mount. Tonight we're dealing with what is called by most everybody the Lord's Prayer. But there are several things we'll notice about this prayer that tell us instantly that it cannot be the Lord's Prayer. Some people refer to it as a model prayer. I think for the sake of application that can be acceptable. Although remember that this entire series of messages on the Sermon on the Mount preached by the Lord Jesus Christ happened, number one, during the age of the law. Because Jesus has not been crucified yet. The age of grace has not yet begun. The age that we live in. Number two, as we've told you over the last weeks, that he is speaking to the Jews, not to the Gentiles. Once again, application can be made in certain areas of the Sermon on the Mount. Not all of them. For example, he is speaking to the Jews concerning the kingdom of heaven, which is the millennial kingdom that will happen after the rapture and the tribulation period. Now, that does not speak to us. Now, I want to say that we'll be here as God's as Christians, whether Jew or Gentile, part of the bride of Christ in this age of grace we live in now. He will come back with Jesus during the millennial reign. And the Bible said we will rule and reign with Christ those 1,000 years. The 1,000-year reign of Christ is directed primarily for the restored nation of Israel. That's the promise that you read of in most of the Old Testament prophets concerning the restoration of Israel. They all point to a millennial kingdom or the kingdom of heaven. So when we read these verses tonight, I hope you'll recognize, and again, I'm not giving this to you in these weeks for the sake of argument. No, I'm not telling you these things so that you can get with a friend who might mention the Lord's Prayer. Boy, you, wait a minute, you're wrong about that. Now, if it gets into a doctrinal discussion, then yes, you give them the truth. But the problem is that you hear that prayer prayed so many times. Jesus plainly told the Pharisees not to pray with vain words. And so for that to be the only prayer they ever pray in their life, sounds to me like vain words. If you as a Christian, if that's all you did was pray that prayer every day, God would not answer your prayer. Because it's not a prayer of asking. We'll get into that in just a moment. Because I want to deal with the idea of prayer. Let's first read the verses beginning verse number 5, Matthew chapter 6. Bible says, and when thou prayest, notice he didn't say if, he said when. Already we know that this is a commandment, not a suggestion. When thou prayest, he said, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. We talked about them Sunday, if you'll remember. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets. They may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. A man prays in public, and people recognize the fluidity and the powery phrases in that prayer and comment on the beautiful prayer. According to God, that's all he's going to get. When I pray, I'm not looking for accolades. I'm looking for answers. Amen? Well, notice the Bible said in verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, there's the application. We all know about a prayer closet. Remember, the context of the verse here, he is talking to Jews. And he's talking to the Jews in reference to the millennial kingdom. The reason he mentions a closet, because if someone broke in your house, why would you get in your closet? Hide, right? Hide. Well, think about it. Here is the Lord telling these Jews concerning the millennial kingdom, there's going to come a time when you're going to have to go in the closet and pray. Seek the Father, not Jesus Christ. Father, why? Because during the tribulation period, the Bible said that the last 3.5 years will be the time of Jacob's trouble. Antichrist will aim all of his forces at Israel. And they're going to be in such bad way until they're going to want to hide. They'll need somewhere to go. And so the Lord says, get in your closet. And that's why we as Christians use the phrase, our prayer closet. All right? So keep this in the context in which it's given. He said, verse 7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Now there's one thing I want you to notice here. He uses the word Father, not his Father. He didn't say, notice verse 8. Be not therefore like unto them, for he didn't say my Father. What did he say? He said your Father. So guess what these Jews are? Saved Jews. Because how else can he be your Father unless for his child? And the only way to be his child, according to the Gospel of John, is to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So he's dealing here with those saved Jews of the millennial kingdom, of the tribulation going into the millennium. He said, pray. He said, your Father. Well, that's comforting to me. And we can apply that as Christians now. He's our Father too, isn't he? Sure he is. He said, but when you pray, or verse 8, he said, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. And again, there's the application is there. He certainly knows what we need. Again, in the context of the scripture, he's talking to the Jews of the kingdom. After this manner, now notice verse 9, you remember in one of the other gospels, the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us pray. And so when he answered with what we call the Lord's Prayer, or the model prayer, I refer to it as the disciples' prayer, because the disciples were all of what nationality? They were Jews, sure. So he's using them to teach a lesson to the entire Jewish race that unless you trust Christ as your Savior, God will not be your Father. A Jew will go to hell just like a Gentile will without Christ. But those that trust him as Savior will be protected by him. We'll have a hallway of prayer to get to God even during that millennial kingdom. Notice he said, when ye need to pray, after this manner therefore pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And it's the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You find the same prayer in Luke chapter 11. Then it goes on, now this is after the prayer. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, whose heavenly Father? Your heavenly Father, again, talking to those saved Jews, will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Again, the application is certainly there for us as believers in the age of grace. If Jesus himself said, before you get forgiveness, you've got to leave your gift at the altar and go and make it right and come back and present your gift. Jesus said, if you don't forgive your brother in this world, then I won't forgive you before my Father, which is in heaven. Look at verse 16. Moreover, I'm sorry, I'm going to stop at verse 15. I don't want to get into all that tonight. At verse 15. So here we have this idea of how to pray. The disciples went to Jesus. Now again, they're hearing this message, and I'm not 100% sure that even the disciples totally understand what he's talking about. And so Jesus uses their confusion to teach them this lesson. Once again, it has a New Testament church application. He said, well, it's written in the New Testament, so it must be aimed at the church. But remember, it was given before Jesus died. The age of grace, the New Testament age, church age, whatever age you want to call that, did not start until Jesus died. The Bible said we're to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, once again, this is not something to argue over, except for the fact that now when I hear Hollywood and I hear government using this prayer like somehow it's a prayer that that's the only one he hears. They don't realize is 99% of the time he hasn't heard one word they said, even though they pray it from the Bible. When Satan tested or tempted Eve in the garden, did he not use some scripture? Hath not God said that make him a saved devil? Oh, sorry. Because prayer is not the means by which you go to heaven. You go to heaven by trusting Christ. Now you pray and ask him to save you, that's for sure. Don't think for a minute that if you know the Lord's Prayer that somehow you have an inside track God. Here, as I said, we read what many call the Lord's Prayer, but Secondly, as I mentioned, it's a model prayer for Jewish disciples waiting for the kingdom age and how they are to pray and will pray. And perhaps not even in the same wordage. Because remember, it's a model. And a model does not mean that it has to be done exactly the same way all the time. It just gives you a layout as to how to pray. Those and us. By the way, when we pray, well, how do we start? Heavenly Father, we start that way. How do we end? In Jesus' name. And what's the last word we use? Amen. The same word Jesus used. And all in between is applicable to us. Remember, Jesus is the one that's giving. If you're going to call this the Lord's Prayer, let's look at it for a minute and find out that it can't be. For example, if you read the New Testament from this point forward, and anybody here tell me chapter and verse where anyone in the New Testament prayed that prayer in the New Testament. Now, if it's supposed to be the Lord's Prayer, you know what we do? You know, when we go to church on Sunday, that's the Lord's Day. And guess what? We read in the New Testament where things happen on the Lord's Day. Paul was caught up into the Spirit, into the third heaven on the Lord's Day. John, on the Isle of Patmos, was caught up in the Spirit and wrote the Revelation. When? On the Lord's Day. When did Jesus come out of the grave? On the first day of the week. That's the Lord's Day. So there's proof of that. You can't show any biblical proof that Jesus intended for everyone to pray this way. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's wrong to give it something it does not deserve. Now, let me give you just real quickly the conflicts concerning this prayer. And we're going to get done because we're going to pray. We're going to get around the altar and pray. Man, I'll tell you, the Lord really blessed that last Wednesday night. And we actually saw some prayer answered since then. So, hey, doesn't hurt. And we're going to pray the right way. We're going to get around the altar. Now, if you want to pray this prayer, you go ahead. We're going to get around the altar and pray in just a moment. Notice, number one, in verse number 10, notice Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come." But we already know that he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, and obviously that hasn't happened yet. Jesus told his disciples, "My kingdom is not of this world or of this time frame." So obviously he can't be talking about the kingdom of, he can't be talking about the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is found within us, not coming for us. And notice, if you would, when the kingdom of heaven comes, what do they pray? They say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." When the millennial kingdom happens, then the will of God that was done in heaven will be done on earth. Not being done yet, but it will be. Jesus is not praying for something to happen that day. He's praying for something that's going to happen down the line. And notice he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Do you think for one minute that Jesus would ever have to ask for bread? Let me ask you something. As a New Testament Christian, are there very many days when you don't have bread, at least? Now, I understand the application is, "Lord, provide our needs." I understand that. But keep in context. Remember, if you take it out of context, you have a pretext for lie. Jesus is not, in context, saying you got to ask God to provide your needs every day. By the way, as a New Testament believer, as a church-age believer, you and I right now, can I ask you a question? We have to pray our daily bread. And the Bible says clearly that the Lord will provide your needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Look at Philippians. Sounds to me like the promise has already been given. He said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." About that, David said, "I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread." Now, it may not be Steve-owned steak. Amen. But God promised already to the church age us He was going to supply our needs. Technically, we don't even have to pray for it, do we? Because if we believe that, then what we're saying is God's promises only leans upon our prayer. I got news for you, honey. God's done much for me when I didn't think to pray for it. Either I didn't pray for it, or I was backslid and didn't anyway, and God was just good and done it anyhow. Amen? You with me? All right. Stay with me now. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Somebody please tell me what sin Jesus committed that he had to pray for forgiveness. By the way, we do have 1 John 1:9. Keep our fellowship with God intact. Somebody tell me what sin you and I have committed since we've been saved that he did not forgive. And as I've told you before, 1 John 1:9 does not say if we ask forgiveness for our sins. It says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. There's no need to ask forgiveness. It's already been provided. God just wants you to know and have enough of him in you to swallow your own pride and admit that you did wrong. Because the basis for forgiveness, as Jesus said, is how we give. If you want to be forgiven, you've got to learn how to be a forgiver. Now, let's go on. "And lead us not into temptation." Somebody tell me And God ever led you into temptation? In fact, James chapter 1 says that God does not tempt man with evil, or God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But wait a minute, preacher. Now, the Bible says that they're asking for God not to lead them into temptation. This is where you need to study to show thyself approved unto God. The word temptation here does not mean tempted with sin. It means tested. Tested. Do you know what happens to you and I every day when we get tempted by the devil? We're being tested. Because guess what? Nothing comes to you from the devil that did not first cross the desk of God. The devil has no power of his own. When Jesus died, what did he do? He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. All he can do is what God lets him do. So if you get tempted with evil, number one, don't forget the devil's behind it, but don't forget God knows about it too. And he's allowing it to find out how you will respond to that testing. You know, when the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness, 40 years, you know what they called it? The days of temptation. God wasn't tempting them to do evil. He was punishing them because of some who did evil. That's why they had to wander 40 years when they were about 10 days away from Canaan. They could have been there in a week and a half. It took them 40 years to get there. Because God said that whole generation has to die before you can go in. God was not tempting them with evil. In fact, wasn't God providing for them while they were out there? Manna every day. Later on, quail. Their shoes never wore out. Their clothes never got worn out. You imagine ladies walking 40 years. Can you imagine going to church for 40 years in the same pair of shoes? Or there'd be 50 strokes in here. We're going to New York City and Judy had to buy a new pair of shoes for every day we're going to be up there. Shoes. I'm taking 3 pair of shoes. Brown ones, black ones, and knock-around ones. All I need. Amen. But even I would, after 40 years, you'd think the fashions would change just a titch. Hey, you watch out, man. Them big bell-bottom britches are coming back in. You mark her down. You see pictures of me and go, man, the preacher's ugly back then. Wearing them things. They're coming back, so I'm going to get my revenge. But then notice he said, deliver us from evil. Now again, the application is there. We should ask God every day to keep us from evil. But what he means here to the millennial kingdom Jews, those of the kingdom of heaven, is when they're going through that time of testing during the tribulation, they're going to be praying for God to deliver us from the evil, from the Antichrist, from all the wickedness that's coming. Because remember, his goal will be to wipe out not only Israel itself, but especially those 144,000 saved witnesses. Then notice he says, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Now, Jesus didn't have to give that to God. God already had it. We don't have to pray and say, Lord, it's yours. Guess what? It's already his. You know what? If you go through a time of trouble and trial, and God delivers you from it, you get on your knees and say, God, you're great. You're wonderful to do that. Always remember, if he didn't get you out of it, he's still great and he's still wonderful. All with me? And then he says, amen. So be it. Let it come to pass. In other words, he put a period on that prayer. We know in the context now that it is directed to the Jews of the millennial. Again, you can use this as a model, and we do to some degree. And the elements of the prayer are certainly applicable to us as New Testament Christians. But the prayer itself that you hear repeated over and over and over and over is not reaching the ears of God. Because now's not the time to pray that prayer. If it was the Lord's prayer, we'd have heard him pray it in the Garden of Gethsemane, wouldn't we? The Bible said that he went up there to pray, didn't it? I don't read where he prayed this prayer. So he said, well, maybe it wasn't recorded. Oh, it wasn't his prayer to start with. It was a model prayer of the Jews. But we can certainly use it to some degree. Now, let me give you these. I've got just a couple minutes here. Notice in verse 5 through 8, I want to give you these quickly. Notice the rudiments of prayer, the parts of prayer. Let's look at real quickly, verse 5 through 8. Number one, the practice of prayer. What do you say in verse 5? When thou prayest. When thou prayest. In other words, it ought to be something you do regularly. Not if, not when you feel like it. When thou prayest. It's the practice. Look at verse number 6. Look at the direction of prayer. Thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou shut thy door, pray to who? Thy Father. Not to me, not to the Pope, not to somebody, but to God. But make sure he's your Father. Because if you're not a Christian, he's not going to hear you until you pray the sinner's prayer. And the sinner's prayer in the Bible is a model prayer. Now, when we were taught to be soul winners, we were taught to have them pray after us. I don't do that anymore. That's easy. Now, when I deal with somebody about their soul, Chad will tell you, and others that I've led to the Lord, when it was time for them to pray, I said, now I want you to tell God what you want. Already got it. And I'm not going to ask you to pray after me and get a little fumbling and say, oh, you sure? My brother did that. Man, I looked him right in the eye, and I could tell the battle was raging, but he said, I'm ready to get saved. And I said, I want you to ask God. He looked at me kind of funny. And I said, Jeff, I said, God saved me 41 years ago, and I prayed. I didn't pray the sinner's prayer. I prayed. I just told God what I wanted. It's time for you. He said, but I don't know all the these and thous. I said, neither does he. He just wants you to talk to him like you've been talking to me. And boy, all of a sudden, he put his head in his hands. He started praying in his own words. Buddy, I'm telling you, heaven came down and glory filled our soul. You know how I know it works? Because he's still doing it today. I talk to him every day, and man, I'm telling you, what a difference. Oh, what a difference when Jesus passed by. Well, that's the practice and the direction. Look at verse 6, privacy. I mentioned that about the prayer closet. Sometimes, you know, I ask Brother Ed tonight to pray the offering. That's a public prayer. By the way, he has so grown in his prayer life, so the first time I asked him, I thought he was going to have a heart attack. But you know, everybody's got to do it the first time. Boy, now when I ask him to pray, it just sounds like he's talking to heaven. Praise God. That's the way it ought to be. Now, this is a public prayer because it's in a public forum. But in a moment, we're going to come to the altar and pray. Now, if you want to pray out loud, you can. But if you want to stand up so everybody can hear you and so everybody can notice you, then you're getting your reward by the eyes that are looking at you. God is not going to hear that prayer. So there's the practice, the direction, the privacy. What about the length? Well, how long should I pray? Does it really matter? The Bible said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The longest recorded prayer in the Bible is when Solomon dedicated the temple to the Lord. About, 20, from verse 22 or 23 to verse 53. So 30 verses or thereabouts. The longest, the shortest one was Elijah praying fire out of heaven. 63 words got it done. The same God that answered Solomon's prayer in 30 verses, and the glory of God fell upon that place, the Bible said. The same God that sent fire out of heaven and licked up it burned up the sacrifice, burned up the altar, licked up all the water that was poured all over it. So the length is not the issue, whether you mean it or not. Notice the relationship in prayer. Who do we talk to? Our Father. He's not your Father, and you're wasting your time. Well, we're all God's children. No, we're not. You better get that. Listen, you better get that out of your head. And one of your friends who you've been praying for wants you to think that they're saved because we're all the children of God. You better straighten them out. You say, well, I'm afraid I'll push them away. You going to let them continue to believe that lie and go to hell with it? Oh, I realize there's some things you don't want to argue about. But when it comes to the truth of the Word of God, you better give it to them straight. And don't be afraid. Well, we find then the rudiments of prayer, the relationship in prayer. Notice verse 9, the reverence in prayer. Verse number 9, after this manner therefore pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father. Notice he mentions our Father and then hallowed be thy name. There's something about God's name. That ought to be reverenced. Of course, now they use it in vain. People just throw God's name around like it's just another name. And the Bible said it's a name that's above every name. That's the priority of God's name. And there's the praise of God's person. Hallowed thy name. And thank God we can pray in reverence. Lastly is the request. Prayer. I mentioned this a moment ago. Prayer about asking. Prayer is about asking. What was Jesus praying for them to ask? That his name be hallowed, that his kingdom come, his will be done, that he provide daily need, he forgive, and that he give victory over temptation. It's all asking. And guess what, folks? That's what prayer is. Don't be ashamed to ask God for things. That's what he wants you to do. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. But if you don't want it, don't come. You know, he said, you have not because you ask not. Yes. Found this, I'm going to read, and then we're going to get around the altar. It's just a little list here. Model prayer, what we just read, in view of self-examination. I cannot say our Father if I'm not born again. I cannot say which art in heaven if I'm focused on things of the earth. I cannot say hallowed be thy name if I'm not going to honor God's name with my life. I cannot say thy kingdom come if I'm not prepared for his coming. I cannot say thy will be done if I am determined to have my own way. I cannot say in earth as it is in heaven if I'll not serve him here and now. I cannot say, give us this day our daily bread, if I have no need to trust him to supply. I cannot say, forgive us our debts, if I'm holding a grudge against somebody. Ouch. I cannot say, lead us not into temptation, if I'm flirting with sin. I cannot say, deliver us from evil, if I do not put on the whole armor of God. I cannot say, thine is the kingdom, if I'm not in subjection to his kingship. I cannot attribute to him the power, if I fear what men may do to me. I cannot ascribe to him the glory, if I'm seeking honor for myself. I cannot say forever if the horizon of my life is bounded completely by time. I cannot say amen if I'm not in complete agreement to the petition of this prayer. That's good stuff right there. I may have that printed up. and let you get a coffee stick in your Bible. Wouldn't that be good to have when you're talking to somebody that says, "Oh, I prayed the Lord's Prayer." Really? Let's just see how much you meant it. Remember Brother Rice? Boy, he used to be good about pulling out a list. Somebody would say, "Well, I'm saved. Have you kept the law?" "Sure, I have." He'd go down the line. "Have you ever lied?" "Yeah." "You broke the law." "Never killed anyone?" "Nope. I can tell you, I've never killed anyone." But the Bible says, "If you look on a man with hatred in your heart, you've committed murder." Uh-oh. I mean, Brother Rice could nail your hide to the wall with it. Something. I'm telling you, he was good at it. Well, next time you read or hear someone pray that prayer,
perhaps maybe some of this will have sunk into the place where at least you can rightly divide the word of truth. Not so you can tell somebody what you know, but to tell them about who they ought to know. Not only the Father that was being prayed to, the Son who was praying that prayer. Amen. Amen. Let's get around the altar tonight and have our altar time.